Is God's grand finale just up ahead?
Revelation 12:9 says that Satan deceives the nations. This is a global thing that's going on. There's a global delusion that's happening in the world right now. Have you noticed this? Where people are just buying in. You know, they're just nodding their heads without ever checking out whether anything's true or not.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Our guest today, author Jeff Kinley, calls the book of Revelation God's grand finale, and it may be about to play out. We hope you are open to learning about this incredible book in the Bible. Jan is joined this week by Pastor Mark Henry. A blessing is promised to those who read and heed Revelation. Here is today's programming.
We're in turbulence right now, folks. We're in the middle of global turbulence. It's like I read not long ago, the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists released this bulletin every year where they talk about how close they think, these secular atheistic scientists believe, how close we are to the end. How close are we to the global extinction event that's going to wipe out humanity? And this year in January, they set the clock to 100 seconds to midnight. It's closer than they've ever set it before. Even secular scientists believe we're on the verge of a great collapse. And so in the midst of all that, I believe it's a time for truth. It's a time for God to speak. We don't just need people to tell us what's going on. We need God to tell us what's happening. And by the way, you know this. God has a prophetic plan for the ages. It's already been prescripted in the Bible. And by the way, not just prescripted, but pre-authenticated. You know how? Because we know that all the previous prophecies in the Bible have come true. And how did they come true? Literally and exactly as prophesied. The Bible's batting 1,000, by the way. It's never missed. It's never hit a foul ball. Hits a home run every single time. So we know that if those previous prophecies have been fulfilled, then all the future prophecies will also be fulfilled as well.
Glad you can join me for Understanding the Times Radio today. I hear from so many of you who truly want to understand the times that you also want to better understand how our times wrap up. Yet you remain challenged by that last book of the Bible, Revelation. Your pastor may find that book a challenge as well, and there are so many different ways to interpret it. My ministry has just picked up Jeff Kinley's newest book, God's Grand Finale, Wrath, Grace, and Glory in Earth's Final Days. We're going to talk about that this hour. Jeff is author of almost 40 books. He heads Main Thing Ministries. He's the new host of the King is Coming telecast, begun by the late Dr. Ed Heinsohn. He's also on the Prophecy Pros with Todd Hampson. And when the dust of Revelation settles, we behold the Lamb standing and ruling in triumphant, sovereign, and indescribable glory. As God's grand finale illuminates how the end times will unfold, you'll understand how the narrative arc of Bible prophecy reveals the awe-inspiring attributes of God. Revelation is far more than a book about judgments. It's also about the glory of God. Jeff also airs, as does Understanding the Times Radio, on his channel television. That would be Jeff Kinley Live, a weekly program. Jeff, welcome back to the program.
Jan, great to be back with you.
The co-host to our Understanding the Times bi-monthly events, Pastor Mark Henry, also in studio with me. Mark, I'm glad you could come in.
Good to be with you, Jan.
And that's partly, Mark, because we have an Understanding the Times on Thursday, August the 3rd. We're going to be featuring Jeff Kinley, correct, at your church?
Absolutely. It's going to be a great time studying the scriptures together and also understanding the things that are happening around us.
We look at apologetics and we look at current events and we have a panel discussion and a Q&A, and Jeff's going to talk about all sorts of things going on in the world. But Jeff, in your book, it obviously chronicles the pattern that is set forth in the book of Revelation as far as how it unfolds in the last days. But it also considers, as you're quick to point out, the character of God. It's not just about catastrophes. It is all about character. You talk about God has unfinished business outlined. He's got a bride to rescue, a people to redeem, a planet to punish, a nation Israel to restore. But you are focusing not exclusively, but at least, quite frankly, every chapter, the character of God.
Revelation is God's great crescendo of his written word to his people and to really the earth. So he concludes the 66 books of the Bible with a final climax of incredible glory and wrath and grace, all found in the last days. And as I read through Revelation and preparing and studying for this book and writing it, Jan and Mark, one of the things I discovered is that my thoughts of God began to elevate higher and higher and higher. And just to have that high view of God in my mind. And that really catapulted me to want to know more about what God says in His Word so that I can know God better in my own life.
So, Mark, in Revelation chapters 1 through 3, the church is mentioned 19 times. Then it disappears for many, many chapters. Then it comes back in chapter 22. But chapters 6 through 19, gone. The saints are in heaven. But then in the book of Revelation, it refers to saints. Who's it talking about?
Jeff, you did an amazing job in this book describing there how the church is on the earth and Jesus is the head of the church in those chapters there, chapter 2 and chapter 3. And he speaks to the church and he says, if you got an ear, let him hear. And he calls them to repent. He calls them to righteousness. He calls them to good theology. And then you mentioned the rapture there and how the church is seen in heaven. And then that silence period while Jesus is dealing with those that are on the earth. And then so beautifully pointed out in chapter 22, the church appears again. And the bride is saying to all those who end up reading this book, come, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jan, the reason that we're missing, we're not here on earth, we're in heaven. We're waiting for the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Right, but in the book of Revelation, there's a reference to saints, and that would be those getting saved during the tribulation?
Yeah, through the book of Revelation, we got people getting saved. And it depends on the context. Sometimes it talks about the saints in heaven, them wearing white. That's going to be the church. There's other times it's talking about Old Testament saints. The immediate context is going to give us the wisdom there.
Jeff, I'm turning to you here because Revelation 3:10, and we're not going to dwell on specific verses other than this one, and I want to spend just a minute on Revelation 3:10. It's a verse supporting the pre-trib rapture, and that's not the topic of this hour necessarily, other than what we say here. It says, I will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come on the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. We have testings every day here, so that's not what it means. How do we know this is the tribulation?
Couple things that in context here, again, as Mark pointed out, is that it's important for us to see that in Revelation 3:10, Jesus is addressing the church at Philadelphia. And of course, we believe that the churches of Revelation are representative of churches, not only throughout history, but also the churches we see in existence today. But there's a very interesting phrase, two things about that verse. Number one, he says this testing is about to come upon the whole world. The testing is Revelation 6 through 19. That's never happened on planet Earth. So that must still be a future era of time. The second thing about this verse is that he uses this phrase, those who dwell upon the earth. That phrase is used throughout the book of Revelation to always refer to unbelievers, to those who are rebellious against God, those who run and resist God. In verse 10 of Revelation 3, the one word he uses there that's very interesting in the Greek language, he says, I will keep you from the hour of testing is the Greek preposition ek, which means out of. Doesn't mean go through, the Greek word dia, but it means to remove from. So he's saying here that the church is going to be removed from this Revelation 6 through 19. She's not going to go through it. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, it means to be taken out of it. So we're essentially removed from that hour of testing. And that ends up being a really strong argument for a pre-tribulational rapture.
Mark, 1 Thessalonians 1:10.
Jan, that verse is really important in light of the fact that Revelation 3:10 is written in 95 AD and recorded by the Holy Spirit there. But 40 years earlier, if you use a consistent hermeneutic, that's exactly what it says in 1 Thessalonians when it says, we are waiting for his son whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come.
Thank you, Mark. I'm moving on here because I want to talk about God's throne for a moment or two, God's heavenly throne. We think of Revelation as representing beasts and judgments and calamity, and we forget that it houses the throne of God, which, by the way, is surrounded by a rainbow, which has been hacked in more recent years by a certain movement. Then we see 24 elders. Jeff, who represents these 24 elders? What does this mean?
Those elders represent the church, the bride of Christ. It says they're clothed in white garments. That describes the bride. It says they have golden crowns on their heads. I believe that represents the bema, the judgment seat of Christ. Angels are never pictured as having these kinds of crowns and dressed this way. So we see the same in Revelation 19, essentially the same description of the bride dressed in white, clean garments. So I think these 24 elders represent the church. And guess what? We're up in heaven. And Jesus just said to John, come up here. And I will show you these things. In fact, it's the same rapture phrase that he uses for the two witnesses later on in Revelation, come up here. Perhaps that's the phrase we're going to hear at the rapture. Who knows? But we are around the throne represented by those 24 elders.
But you say as many as 1 billion angels could be worshiping the Lord Jesus in heaven. How did you arrive at that number?
When you do the math throughout Revelation, especially with the demonic host, you find out that it comes in the hundreds and hundreds of millions. A third of the angels fell. So if you were in the hundreds of millions, it's very possible that the remaining angelic host numbers perhaps in the billions. And of course, God has his ministering spirits everywhere on the planet. So there are many angels that God has perhaps in the billions.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. Have in studio with me Pastor Mark Henry, Revived Church, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, co-host of our every other month Understanding the Times evening event coming up Thursday, August 3rd. It is live streamed at markhenryministries.com, markhenryministries.com. Post-program, you can watch it there or at olivetreeviews.org and go to video. And today's radio guest, Jeff Kinley, will be our guest that evening, August 3rd, 7 to 9 p.m. Mark, why don't you give the address of your church?
7849 West Broadway, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, 55445.
No cost to attend, plenty of seating. And Jeff Kinley, author of 40 books. We're talking to him about his newest book, which we carry here at Olive Tree Views, olivetreeviews.org, and go to our online store, God's Grand Finale, Wrath, Grace, and Glory in Earth's Last Days. Jeff, I'm just moving here in the interest of time, because the planet Earth in peril. I just want to talk about that for a few minutes. I appreciate your clarification a few minutes ago as it concerns wrath, etc. But we have God's wrath, we have man's wrath, we have Satan's wrath. And I think it's clear that we somehow differentiate when it comes to wrath, particularly in the book of Revelation. There we're talking about God's wrath, not Satan's wrath, not even man's wrath, but God's wrath. Would I be right?
Yeah, that's a very important distinction to make, because in Revelation chapter 6, verse 1, it says the Lamb is the one who breaks the seals and pours out the initial judgments that fall on those who dwell on the earth, chapters 6 through the end of 18. The earth is suffering under God's wrath. Now, certainly man's wrath is there, and the saints that do come to Christ will suffer under man's wrath. But God has removed us from his wrath, because Jesus says through the Holy Spirit in Romans 8, 1, there's therefore there are no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So the Revelation tribulation period is all about God's wrath on the earth.
I want to play a quick soundbite here, because it talks about the players of the tribulation. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, folks. The seals and the trumpets and the bowls are very serious and very prominent, and we're going to talk about that. But again, who are some other players of the tribulation? Let's play this clip and come back and talk about it.
In the book of Revelation, many characters are introduced to us, some good and some who are evil. We see the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation, which is expected because the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. If you truly want to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is, open up the book of Revelation, and the Lord Jesus Christ will be revealed to you. We see him in the book of Revelation as the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the Son of Man, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, the Bridegroom, and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In the book of Revelation, we are also introduced to the seven churches. The seven churches of the book of Revelation are Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. These were important sites of early Christianity. In the book of Revelation, we are also introduced to the 144,000. These 144,000 witnesses are selected from the 12 tribes of Israel. They are sealed on their foreheads, and they are servants of the living God. In the book of Revelation, we are also introduced to the great multitude. This great multitude of people are those who are converted during the Great Tribulation. In the book of Revelation, we are also introduced to the two witnesses. The identity of the two witnesses of God is not known at present, but what we do know is that these two men are the representatives of God, and they come to witness to the world and perform miracles for 3.5 years in Jerusalem. They warn the world and tell the world that all people need to repent of their sins. We are also introduced to dark characters in the book of Revelation, characters that bring destruction along with them. In the book of Revelation, we are introduced to the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and they come with the beginning of sorrows spoken of in Matthew 24, verses 4 through 8. In the book of Revelation, we are also introduced to Abaddon, who is the angel of the bottomless pit. In Hebrew, the name Abaddon means place of destruction. The Greek title Apollyon literally means the destroyer. Abaddon is the leader of the demonic locusts, which will rise out of the abyss when the fifth angel blows his trumpet. In the book of Revelation, we are also introduced to the dragon, who is no one other than the devil. That serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, accuser of the brethren, the fallen one. In the book of Revelation, we are introduced to the beast from the sea with seven heads and ten horns. This is no one other than the Antichrist. In the book of Revelation, we are introduced to the beast from the earth. This is no one other than the false prophet.
Mark Henry, as a pastor, you know that a lot of pastors will avoid this topic based on that clip that you've just heard. It's overwhelming. There are so many characters. They're so strange. What do we make of four horsemen, of these locusts, these characters in the book of Revelation? We've got very strange appearing things coming in this book that many want to run away from this rather than tackle it chapter by chapter.
Jen, it's interesting to me that pastors would turn away because every one of those characters, whether it's the two prophets or the 144,000, which would be the good guys, they're all in reference to Jesus. If you figure out Revelation 19:10, that the spirit of prophecy is Jesus Christ, then all of these other pieces fit together well. Either the people who dwell on the earth are rebelling against the Christ, or you've got the saints responding to Christ. You've got the angels who are responding to Christ, whether they're elect angels or fallen angels. And that's the tension of this whole thing, jumping back and forth from the scenes in heaven to the scenes on the earth. The question is, how are these people responding? And you'll find the good guys are responding rightly to Christ, and the bad guys are always rejecting, rebelling against the Christ.
So, Jeff, you write about the planet Earth in peril. And again, folks, I'm basing our discussion on Jeff Kinley's newest book, God's Grand Finale, Wrath, Grace, and Glory in Earth's Last Days. It is really chapter by chapter study of the book of Revelation, very easy to understand. I found it extremely interesting. But eventually, Jeff, we have to get to the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls. And they seem harsh, perhaps unleashed by an angry God. Help us understand the point being, at least for this hour, no one wants to experience this, and you don't have to.
That's exactly right. And I think for believers, piggybacking off what Mark said, is that it's not just pastors that want to avoid Revelation. It's really all Christians.
Yes.
And people say, I just want to talk about Jesus. I just want to love Jesus. Well, guess what? The entire book of Revelation is about Jesus from beginning to end and all throughout the book. But to your point about wrath is that God's wrath is not something we typically enjoy talking about, but it's an essential attribute of God. It's who he is. It's just as much a part of who our God is as love and grace and mercy. And I think it's important for us to study God's wrath because, number one, it is an attribute of God. The Bible talks many times about it throughout Scripture's narrative. It's a prophetic reality. It's something that's going to happen. And the truth about divine judgment really serves as a deterrent to wanting to be, as you said, Jan, a part of this seven-year tribulation period, and also to miss the lake of fire, which is the ultimate expression of his wrath. I think it's a healthy motivation to see God, and it gives us great respect.
You say this, you say, during these judgments, again, this would be the seals, the trumpets, the bowls, during these judgments, God will literally shake the planet as if to say, do I have your attention now? They will cower. This is their response of man. They will cower under rocks rather than take shelter in the rock of ages. Somehow that speaks to me about the hardness of the heart of mankind. At the same time, many are going to be getting saved during this time. So we have a dichotomy here.
Absolutely. There's a dual path that runs in the narrative because in chapter 6, in the initial seal judgments, we see people hiding under rocks. Save us from the wrath of the Lamb and him who sits on the throne. They're not blaming all these things on aliens or climate change. They know exactly who's causing these things. But instead of turning to Christ, those who dwell on the earth, they go on in chapter 9, chapter 16, to not repenting of their sins. They go on to blaspheming God, hating God. And eventually, at the end of Revelation, you have the whole planet gathering to fight God to try to kill that same Lamb. But at the same time, Jan, there's this outpouring of a massive revival that takes place. Probably the greatest outpouring of God's grace in history is going to happen in Revelation chapter 7. It's a glorious passage because people from every tribe, nation, tongue, and language are going to be a part of coming to Jesus.
I want to go there in a minute. Mark, you had something here.
Jeff is so right on here. It all comes back to the gospel makes no sense if you don't preach Revelation. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. Lost and the wrath of what? Well, it's described in the book of Revelation as an unsaved individual reading through the Bible. I get to the lake of fire there, and I'm like blown away. I don't want to go there. The fear of the Lord struck me, and that's why I needed to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you think about, people can say, well, this is a book of wrath, and how dare God? Remember this. The Son of Man left the glory of heaven, died on a cross to pay for sin. He's been gracious for 2,000 years, saving a great host for himself from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And then 7 years of wrath filled with prophets preaching during that time, the 144,000, the two prophets, the angels, and saving, as Jeff just said, a great multitude even in the midst of that. Jesus is mighty to save. Yes, he's going to judge the earth, but this is a book of God's deliverance and of God's judgment of those who will reject him. The judgment is real.
Back to these seals, trumpets, and bowls, Mark, Jesus unleashes these, not man, not Satan, not the Antichrist. Jesus Christ unleashes what we're talking about.
That's exactly right. Every one of these. That's one of the things that blows me away as I talk with pastors. It's don't you understand the same Jesus that died on the cross to pay for sin so people don't go to hell is the one who is breaking each of the seals, sending each of the trumpets, each of the bowl judgments. He's the one that's coming and judging the nations in chapter 19. He's the one that's created a new heavens and new earth. He's the one that's got the millennial kingdom. This is all about Jesus. This is the whole point. 2,000 years of grace, the church age. Don't face his wrath. Experience his grace now. It's just amazing to me the amount of grace that's shed even during the 7 years. I don't know about you. I'd throw up my hands at that point. 2,000 years you guys didn't believe. That's it. You're done. But his grace is even flowing throughout the time of the tribulation.
Jeff Kinley, these rather intriguing horsemen on the apocalypse, the first horseman and probably the Antichrist, he's on a white horse, and he's carrying a bow, but no arrows. What does that mean?
It says he comes conquering and to conquer. And so I think this is indicative of the fact that he comes to bring a message of peace. He essentially rises to a platform of prominence through bringing peace. And in the context, once again, if you think of the post-rapture chaos that's going to be blanketing planet Earth in that day. Imagine the amount of panic, the amount of anxiety. People are going to be losing their minds. And here comes a guy. As you've said before, he's the man with the plan. And he comes on the scene. He says, hey, I can fix this. Trust me. And the whole world will fall under his spell because he'll be a great orator and he'll be able to bring that initial peace.
But he's going to use, as you say, fear, because fear is the master manipulator. And Jeff, this is you.
To unite the nations has to be a major pillar in Satan's end times agenda. Let me give you a second one here. Secondly, he has to deceive humanity. Revelation 12:9 says that Satan deceives the nations. This is a global thing that's going on. There's a global delusion that's happening in the world right now. Have you noticed this? Or people are just buying in. You know, they're just nodding their heads without ever checking out whether anything's true or not. The second essential element involves deceiving the hearts of humanity, and it also involves a crisis. Now, a couple of years ago, I thought about the pattern that we're going to see in Bible prophecy and how today we're ramping up to that and what are the similarities, and I came up with this thing here. This is what Scripture says will happen. There's going to be a crisis. It's going to be the rapture. The post-rapture crisis will happen. It will be such a chaos, the panic and fear worldwide. Jesus says there'll be false Christs, wars and rumors of wars. And then finally, there'll be calm. You know why? Because this man called Antichrist will come upon the scene and he will bring peace. Revelation 6:1 says he's the rider on the white horse. He's going to bring a relative sense of calm and peace and safety. Everything's okay. And because of that, people will comply. It'll be okay now. He's our man. He's in charge, right? But the end game is control. When he finally enacts those financial restrictions, when he demands total allegiance, worship, and of course, the mark of the beast. Now, what has already happened? We saw a crisis with the COVID. Now, Russia, Ukraine, all this climate anxiety, all these new crises that are coming. Monkeypox didn't stick, okay? But they tried, but there's a chaos that follows that. Panic and fear. Weren't you afraid to walk beside someone right after COVID happened? Someone sneezed and the whole room exited, you know? People even today, they clear their throat and just people freak out, right? Fear. Fear is a great, wonderful, masterful manipulator, my friend. You get a populace to be afraid, you can do anything with them.
Amen. You really can. Mark Henry, we've enjoyed 2 years of bi-monthly Understanding the Times events held at your church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. Still, in 2023, we have Jeff Kinley coming up, as we've said, Thursday, August 3rd, 7 to 9 p.m. Then in October, we have Pastor Barry Stagner coming on Thursday, October 5th. in conjunction with our second pastor's huddle. What is this, and how do pastors listening get involved for this October activity?
Jan, I so love your heart for the pastors and the churches and our listening family. Mark Henry Ministries, Olive Tree Ministries, uniting together for the pastors. Now listen, many of you pastors went to seminary, and it's very common for seminary graduates now only to have like 7 to 8 hours of eschatology or even surveys of minor prophets, the book of Daniel, Revelation. What this is a time for pastors to come, to gather, and we've brought in a great scholar by the name of Dr. Mike Powell. He's a graduate of Dallas Seminary, and he's pastored for 41 years. We had our first huddle back in May. We had 25 guys from around the country. They had a great time. We want to expand that to 50. So we want to ask you to send your pastor or you pastors contact us at markhenryministries.com, or you can go to olivetreeviews.org. This huddle coming up in October, 4th through the 6th, we'll start on a Wednesday, have the first session, have some sessions on Thursday, then we'll have our Understanding the Time event, so you'll be a part of that. Barry Stagner will be with us. It's going to be a great time. Then we'll finish up on Friday, and we're going to be specifically focusing on a literal grammatical hermeneutic as it applies to the book of Revelation.
That's this fall. We are not doing it this summer. We need to clarify. We're talking about the fall Understanding the Times.
Correct. October 4th through the 6th, Dr. Mike Powell. And then, Lord willing, in 2024 in May or in the spring event, we'll have another huddle there. Join us.
Again, for the August event, you can live stream markhenryministries.com. You can watch it post-program, or you can come on out in person. If you're in the Upper Midwest area, we hope you'll consider doing that. Pastor Henry, your church services, you've got Saturday night at 4, and you've got Sunday at 8, 9:30, and 11 a.m. Traditional, I believe, is 8 a.m. and 9:30 on Sunday morning. A lot happening at your church, Revive, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota.
God is opening a wide door in these last days, Jan. People are wanting to understand the scriptures, and
Amen.
It's been a great joy for us to minister to so many in these days.
And as I said in my intro, they really do want to understand, how does it all wrap up? So many pulpits are silent, as Jeff would attest to. Jeff, you're out there in the churches, and I know you experience some really brokenhearted people because they have to come to a conference to get this information.
True, they're like orphans, Christian orphans that are out there that don't have a shepherd. Sometimes it's not even just prophecy, Jan. They just want someone to open the actual Bible and teach it to them verse by verse because they're hungry. And all true believers really are hungry. We want God to tell us what's going on, what's happening in the world, but also how we can know him better. And too many times there are platitudes, TED Talks on Sunday mornings, self-help seminars. Just give us the truth from A to Z. And like Paul said to the Ephesian elders, I didn't shrink from declaring to you the entire counsel of God. That's what people really want.
When I come back, I want to talk a little bit about the Great Awakening. There's going to be a revival in this tribulation time like never before. Why a millennium? What is it? And why do we have to have one? Why does God restore Satan at the end of the millennium? There's got to be a good answer. We're going to talk about that and much more in part two of my programming, so don't go away. I'm coming right back.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. In the age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Olive Tree Ministries and Understanding the Times Radio. We are pleased to carry Jeff Kinley's newest book, God's Grand Finale, Wrath, Grace, and Glory in Earth's Last Days. The Bible's last book is God's final word to mankind and the breathtaking revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. The revelation describes depravity, devils, and destruction. It also provides an incredible portrait of our Almighty God, delivering profound insights into who He really is. This book will help you experience how God uses the apocalyptic realities of Revelation to reveal Himself to you. When the dust of Revelation settles, we behold the Lamb standing and ruling in triumphant, sovereign, and indescribable glory. Find this uplifting new book by Jeff Kinley, God's Grand Finale, Wrath, Grace, and Glory, and Earth's Last Days, in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can also call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. You can order by mail for just $12. We charge no shipping in the U.S. or Canada.
And the point of Revelation is Revelation 19:10. It says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You will fall more in love with your Savior and your Lord by going through this book of Revelation, and you'll find so many great attributes of God that will make you want to not only know Him, to love Him, but to serve Him during the short time that we all have left.
We know you can't always be by a radio, so if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org, and then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video version of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, and on his channel, Christian TV. Now, here are Jan Markell, Pastor Mark Henry, and Jeff Kinley to wrap up today's programming.
There's also a time frame that they will come and will live before they are killed. When will the two witnesses come to earth? They will come into the world during the Great Tribulation. Jesus said there would be a Great Tribulation before His second advent, a tribulation that has not been seen before on earth. Matthew chapter 24, verse 21 says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." When tribulation period starts, a lot of worldwide events will happen as told in the book of Revelation. The Lamb will open the seals, and each seal is associated with great events on the world as told in Revelation chapter 6. Then we also have the angels that will blow trumpets, and some horrible things will happen. The two witnesses will come right after the sixth trumpet and before the seventh trumpet. This means that these witnesses will come during the Great Tribulation. What we should know about this is how great God is to send witnesses to tell people to repent. People will still get a second chance to repent and follow Christ, but not all obey. This is the same thing God will do when He will send His angels to preach the gospel of the Lord so that the world can change. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 says, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people." This shows the love of God for mankind, even in the time of the Great Tribulation. This is God trying to tell the people to repent and change for the better. These two witnesses will come during the Great Tribulation.
Indeed, God is a God of second and third chances, even during that terrible time in the Bible known as the Tribulation and the Great Tribulation. I'm talking for the hour with Jeff Kinley because we carry his newest book, God's Grand Finale, Wrath, Grace, and Glory in Earth's Last Days. You can reach Jeff at jeffkinley.com. jeffkinley.com. In studio with me is the co-host of our Understanding the Times bi-monthly events located at Revive Church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, Pastor Mark Henry. Why don't you give that address one more time, Mark?
Revive Church, 7849 West Broadway, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, 55445.
And our next meeting, Thursday, August 3rd, with Jeff Kinley. No cost, no reservation. You can live stream at markhenryministries.com, and you can reach Mark at markhenryministries.com. He pastors Revive Church, which you can find more information, including church services, at revivebrooklynpark.org, a suburb of Minneapolis, not far from me, as a matter of fact. And Jeff is the author of 40 books. He heads Main Thing Ministries, and we have carried so many of his books. I can't even count them all, probably a dozen over time. He also is on his channel, Jeff Kinley Live. And I think you've taken Ed Heinsohn's place, if that's possible, Jeff, The King is Coming telecast. How can they watch The King is Coming?
You can watch The King is Coming on the Dish Network, Roku, or on hischannel.com. It's on a whole bunch of networks there.
Sure.
And yes, I will not be able to fill Ed Heinsohn's shoes, that's for sure.
He was a personal friend and a ministry friend as well, as you well know. Let's go back quickly to the seals, trumpets, and bowls. And again, we kind of understand why some people might say, but Jan, this is truly gloom and doom that you're talking about. And these seals, trumpets, and bowls, they're unthinkable. And folks, they are. That's why you don't want to stick around for them. And you don't have to. Just name Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you won't experience these terrible judgments. Let's just visit them for a few more minutes, and then we need to move on. Jeff, why so harsh?
Because God is a God of wrath. He's a righteous God. He's a holy God. He's a very patient God.
Yes.
And yet there is a point where God's patience does have an end, because God has scripted history, and there's a point where he shut the door of the ark. The Bible says that God himself shut the door of the ark. That day of grace was over. And so we see some of that wrath, the same kind of global, catastrophic, apocalyptic wrath take place during the seven-year period there. And it's part of who God is. And we have to be right with that. But that's exactly what Christ endured at the cross for us. Mm-hmm. He endured this kind of wrath, eventually eternal wrath, so that we wouldn't have to. And that's the good news of the gospel.
Mark Henry, again, this is why some people won't visit this. We look at dark headlines every day. They say, I'm going to turn to the Bible and I'm going to get scared again. The message we're trying to bring this hour is not necessarily. He is a God of love and second chances.
Absolutely, Jan. It says in the scripture that Jesus is our propitiation. Mm. He took the wrath of God so that we don't have to. And if we reject him, there are consequences. There's always going to be consequences when a person rejects the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you reject him today, the rapture is going to take place. This tribulation is coming. The great white throne judgment is coming. The lake of fire is coming. And his wrath is real. And that's the reason you need to trust Christ today. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. He paid for sins. He rose again the third day. Believe in him and you will have everlasting life.
You want to sum anything up, Jeff, in this vein that we're talking about?
Revelation 6 through essentially chapter 19. That's a lot of space in the book of Revelation. But I think it's a clarion call. It's a neon sign flashing to this planet saying wrath is coming. Mm-hmm. Another global flood is coming. But it's in the terms of God's wrath and these judgments. So avoid them at all costs by fleeing to the cross, casting yourself on the mercy of God, and Jesus will not cast you away if you do that.
So there's 30 minutes of silence in heaven during the seals, trumpets, and bowls. There's 30 minutes of silence. Mark, what do you think that's about?
I think it's the sober reflection of what's happening. You got to remember in the fifth seal, the martyrs are saying, God, how much longer will you endure this, them killing us and the prophets, and they're shedding our blood? And God says, be still. He says, be at rest. And he gives them white garments. God is in control of this whole thing. And this is a moment of stopping, silence, reflection, as his wrath is being poured out in his grace and deliverance, because he is rescuing for himself a huge multitude of people from every tribe, tongue, and nation, even during the tribulation period.
We're going to head there next, but you wanted to comment on the fake news. We were talking during the break, and it's so important what you're saying here.
Yeah, we think about fake news today in so many different ways, but Jeff, on page 15 of your book, you pointed out the fake news in the New Testament times where false teachers were coming in and saying that the Christ had already come. And we hear people saying stuff like that today. Give us some examples of fake news in the first century.
In 2 Thessalonians, Paul had established the church at Thessalonica, spent a minimum of 3 weeks, not more than 6 or 7 weeks. But during that time, he covered eschatology with them. Pastors today think I shouldn't talk about eschatology, but Paul, in his foundational church planting manual, covered eschatology in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. But these false prophets came in, as they did with pretty much all the churches that Paul had planted. They came in with a different message saying, no, I've got a word from the Lord. I've received a vision. Oh, look, here's a letter that Paul has signed saying that the day of the Lord has already come. So they came in with this fake eschatological news saying that you're in the tribulation. You're going through the tribulation. You've missed the rapture. And of course, they were disturbed in their faith. They were shaken to the core. And so Paul had to write 2 Thessalonians to correct this bad theology. Biblical discernment, Mark, gives us the ability to see through some of the predictions, sensationalism, false prophecies, fake news, spiritually speaking, that a lot of people have today.
Spiritual fake news in regard to the gospel, let them be accursed, Galatians. Spiritual fake news about morality and holiness, you think about 1 Corinthians 6. And eschatology as well. Fake news there. Thanks for helping us understand that.
Jeff Kinley, you do write about the coming Great Awakening, and I just want to spend a few minutes on this. It's so important. There's going to be a revival. Many feel that the revival is on earth any day, and I hear about that literally daily. I do have some questions about that, and I tend to see it perhaps in its ultimate, in the tribulation, the first half of the tribulation. And we need to clarify the Holy Spirit is not removed during the tribulation. His restraining influence may be removed, but the Holy Spirit is not removed. And God provides unlimited number of options to be sharing the gospel. Mark, share some of those ways the gospel will be presented. 144,000 goes on and on.
What's fascinating, Jan, when someone reads chapter 6 through the end of chapter 18, you've got the seal judgments, and in between 6 and 7, you've got the 144,000 Jews who are going to go out and preach, and God's going to protect them, and others are going to be dying, and there's going to be all this pestilence and all this stuff happening. But those 144,000 preachers of the gospel, the good news, are going to be going out. And then you get into the trumpet judgments, and in between 6 and 7 there, the two prophets are going out and speaking, and then God sends angels. It's called the everlasting gospel, is preached around the globe. But then once you get in the middle of the tribulation, the grace and the saving elements really come to a screeching halt. Those who have sided with God are there, and those who are taking the mark of the beast and the controlling of the food and everything, there's going to be a real division there. People just need to understand, grace is not always available. Seek the Lord while he may be found, the prophets say. You think about in Noah's day, my spirit will not strive with man forever for 120 years, and then God shut the door. Even so, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today, experience his grace now.
Amen. Jeff, you call this the Great Awakening, and we've had several Great Awakenings throughout mainly modern history. What do you think about some kind of an awakening going on in the church age? Is that possible?
As is typical with the Western church, Jan, we tend to build our own template about what awakenings look like. We think it has to be a Billy Graham crusade. It has to be a large gathering of people in one place. But I believe God is awakening his bride, the remnant of his bride, in churches like Mark's church and other churches that are preaching the true gospel. I'm seeing remnants of the bride waking up. They're getting into the word of God. They're getting their garments ready, if you will, for the rapture. But it's not taking place in terms of these massive coming to Christ type thing, because that's actually not prophesied in the scripture. What is prophesied is a great falling away from the faith in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. It's not to say God couldn't do that, but it's just to say that I believe Jesus is a lot more concerned about purifying his bride in the church age right now. That's what we read about in Revelation 2 and 3. Certainly people will come to Christ, but the massive revival is coming, but it's going to come in the tribulation period.
You feel that this revival time will be in the first half of the tribulation, not so many chances in the second half, which I would agree with. And why don't you explain why?
So as you follow the chronology in chapter 6, the beginning of the sealed judgments, the very next chapter, chapter 7, tells us about these 144,000 on fire, passionate, pure Jewish evangelists. And then the very next verse, verse 9, says, after these things, John sees this great multitude that no one can count of these massive revivals that are taking place in people's lives. It seems to follow that in the very early stage that this giant multitude comes to Christ in mass. And yet we see very little, if perhaps even none of that in the rest of Revelation. That's why I put that revival in the first half of the tribulation. And that's when, just logically speaking, as you trace scripture too, Jan, is that the people's hearts are not yet as hard as they're going to be. They're hiding from God in chapter 6, but they're persisting in their sin in chapter 9, and then they're blaspheming God in chapter 16 and the rest of the book.
Mark Henry, there are lots of people listening right now, and they've been sharing their faith with their spouse, their children, their grandchildren for years, been rejected, good friends, been rejected, and they need to be encouraged that there's probably going to be many more opportunities. We may be gone, and at that point in time, these loved ones are going to say to themselves, why didn't I listen?
Yeah, you can imagine when the rapture takes place and all of a sudden it's headline news. All these people are missing. It's going to be different volumes of people depending on which country you're from.
Yes.
But imagine here in the United States, there's so many millions of people that are gone. What happened? And everyone's going to be calling. My unsafe family members and friends, I know, are going to be calling. My neighbor next door is going to be checking my house. And I've shared the gospel with them. I bounced the gospel ball in their court. And I said, if you want to talk more about this, I'd love to share Jesus with you. And he died on the cross to pay for my sins. And you can have everlasting life too. There's going to be a multitude of people who are going to end up responding to the gospel. We should not lose heart. Remember this. God is mighty to save. Jesus is mighty to save. And he's going to save a multitude, just like it says there in Revelation 17, right during the midst of this time of wrath.
You want to wrap up this topic on the Great Awakening, Jeff? And I'm so glad you included and you had such an emphasis on it, because we need to encourage.
For sure. And in chapter 7, and I love what it says in verse 15, it talks about them coming out of the Great Tribulation, this massive revival. It says, for this reason, they are before the throne and they serve God day and night. And God sits on his throne in the temple. They'll hunger and thirst no more. And this is, again, just a picture of God's incredible grace and mercy. I believe this also could picture those 24 elders we saw back in chapter 4. But to the point is that it really tells us that God is a lot more gracious than we give him credit for. Some people want to make God this loving God that never brings judgment. Other people say, well, it's just all a book of judgment and revelation. But wow, think of the massive praise and glory that will accrue to our God and to his throne when these arrive in heaven. We'll be there waiting on them. And these believers come on into heaven and think of the joyous celebration,
yes,
celebrating not just their salvation, but the grace and mercy of God who allowed them to be saved during this time.
And you know, Jan, when you read Revelation 20, when Jesus starts the millennial kingdom, that starts with this resurrection of this multitude who suffered during the tribulation period, who had trusted Christ, who had been martyred, and their resurrection. There is a grand host that's going to be resurrected and experience God's grace during the tribulation.
Find this book in my online store, God's Grand Finale, olivetreeviews.org, views as in viewpoint, olivetreeviews.org. You can call my office, Central Time. You can get on our newsletter lists. Pastor Mark and I have read it, and I almost get to the point where I think I can't read anything new when it comes to the book of Revelation, and then they come out with a wonderful new book like this, written by Jeff Kinley, my guest for the hour. Gentlemen, let's just look for a few minutes here, and Jeff, you cover it in here, and that would be the millennium. Jeff, why a millennium? Why do we need to come back? And we do come back in the second coming with Jesus Christ to populate the millennium with those believers who have survived the tribulation. The millennium here on this earth that we would like to leave forever and ever, we will eventually, but we got 1,000 years. Why?
First of all, when you talk about the millennial kingdom, most Christians have a deer in the headlights look, like, what is that all about? And yet every single Christian has prayed for this millennial kingdom. Yeah. Every time they've said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Every time they celebrated Christmas, for a child is born unto us, a son is given, and the government shall rest upon his shoulders. That's the millennial kingdom. One of the reasons why God establishes this millennial kingdom, and we don't know that it's 1,000 years until we get to Revelation 20, by the way. The number 1,000 is repeated 6 times in 7 verses. But it's to give Jesus Christ what is rightfully his. God has promised him a kingdom. He's promised that he would rule over the earth, that he would be the regal monarch over planet earth, to fulfill the promise that God gave to Abraham regarding blessing the nations and the land, that Jesus would sit on the throne of David, this promise he made to David in 2 Samuel 7, and also to rule over the nation of Israel, to restore Israel to her place in the millennial kingdom. It'll be a great time of, like you said, there'll be believers coming in from the tribulation period. They're in their natural bodies. There'll be people like us. We'll be in our glorified bodies. So it'll be sort of a unique age, but Christ will be ruling from Jerusalem, and we'll all know the Lord together, and it'll be a time of great righteousness.
Mark, I have a theological question for you, because as Jeff just said, 6 times it specifically says the millennium will be 1,000 years, and we have most Christians today attending churches that believe in what's called amillennialism, no literal millennium. Why? When it's so clear.
When you read postmillennial theologians or amillennial theologians, they just say that's just a number that's thrown out there to show many, many years. And as I've debated them, I'm always shocked. It says it's right there.
Yeah.
But if you believe in a literal historical grammatical interpretation, in other words, every word means something and God's not trying to trick us, and it's not just wishy-washy where everyone can pick their own interpretation. God has spoken. What Jeff said is just so important. All through the Old Testament, ethnic Israel is promised a kingdom. It has a boundary, it has a king, and they've never received any of that. And God's going to keep his promise. And that's why there's going to be a millennial kingdom. And it's going to be for 1,000 years. How do we know that? Because it says so right in the text. And then the reality is, it's going to also show the depravity of man, Jan, because there's going to be Gentile believers who enter into with physical bodies, as Jeff just said, into the millennial kingdom. There's going to be Jewish believers who enter with real human bodies. Mm-hmm. They're going to reproduce and have children. And every night on CNN and Fox News, Jesus is going to be the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and everyone's going to know it. And yet they will still rebel against him. And at the end of the 1,000 years, those rebellious hearts will be gathered together by Satan, come against the saints, come against Jerusalem, and Jesus' final judgment will take place before the new heavens and new earth is created. What it shows, and it's true in every dispensation, every period of time, is the wickedness of man's heart is greater than we realize. And people say that all the time to me. If I just saw Jesus, I would believe in him. That didn't happen in the first century. It's not going to happen even during the millennial kingdom when Jesus is ruling and reigning. They're still going to have this heart of rebellion. That's how deep
that's right.
sin is in our hearts.
It's important we say that because it's so true. Jeff Kinley, do you think that Jesus Christ, when he comes back in his second coming, I realize this is likely speculation and maybe not even a fair question, but do you think that when he comes back in that second coming, that he will instantly restore the earth? Or do we spend these 1,000 years restoring the earth because it's going to be simply devastated from the seals, bowls, and trumpets?
There's some mystery there. In the book of Daniel, talks about a period of 75 days after the second coming. And during that time, it's been speculated that Christ will either be setting up his administration, giving awards to those who will be ruling over cities, over nations, but also a chance to reestablish the earth, to bring Jerusalem to its proper height, to be above the other hills and nations of the earth. So I think there'll be a little bit of a renovation to go on during that time. And of course, eventually there'll be a new heavens and a new earth that Christ will completely remake, because the earth is going to be pretty ravaged as a result of the tribulation period. So there'll need to be some renovation, some makeover that'll need to happen.
That was my question. A lot of renovation. We were talking about that off air, Mark. The devastation is simply staggering. We look at some things going on today, minor in comparison. I hate to say it. We got good people suffering from natural disasters, minor compared to what's coming.
Minor, but absolutely, Jesus is going to restore that period of time. And you remember, just before he throws Satan into the pit, it says that he calls the birds of the sky to clean up the carcasses of all of the dead. It's catastrophic. And just as Noah came off the ark, you remember he was on the ark for roughly a year, and he comes out, and God did all things new. It's going to happen, and the millennial kingdom is going to be amazing, and we're all going to be part of that and celebrating that God has kept his word to ethnic Israel.
Jeff, one more probing question here. I expect you to have the mind of God, Jeff. So why does God restore Satan at the end of the millennium? He's been locked up 1,000 years, and then God lets him out again.
God always brings the history to a close. He always brings the narrative to an end, and he's going to bring the nations to their own ends as well. God, in one sense, doesn't need justification for condemning man for his sin because we're born sinners. But at the same time, just like we see in the Great White Throne Judgment, the books are open and actually their acts are written and are read. And so I take it that that's going to be an opportunity for God to use that end times rebellion at the end of the millennial kingdom as a point of justification for his condemnation of them. And Satan is simply the catalyst that brings about that final rebellion that's quelled in a moment's notice. But it tells us something too, just about who Satan is. He's unredeemable. He can't be made over. He can't be rehabilitated, anything like that. He's just pure evil. And so he partners with the sin nature of those who have refused, for whatever reason, to respond to King Jesus during the millennial kingdom to bring about that final rebellion. It's going to be used as an opportunity. And once again, Jan, we will rejoice in the wrath of God, in the righteousness of God, because at that point, all sin and evil will be done forever.
Mark, some of the topics and some of the theme here of Revelation, this is what's going to be considered this fall, correct, in the pastor's huddle when Mike Paul comes back?
Yeah, we're going to be talking about a literal, grammatical hermeneutic in the book of Revelation and going verse by verse through there. And I do want to encourage all of you out there that are listening to get Jeff's book online there at olivetreeviews.org for your pastor. Mm-hmm. You pastors that are listening, this is a great, great book to help you preach through. In fact, Jan, I don't know if I've shared this with you, but since COVID, pastors are reaching out to me and said, I've never preached through Revelation.
Really?
How do I do that? I'm telling you, this is a great starting spot. Jeff, thanks for a great book.
Thank you, Jeff. Find it in my store, folks. You can call my office as well. Jeff, a couple minutes left. Do you want to wrap things up? By the way, you can contact Jeff at jeffkinley.com. Contact Mark Henry at markhenryministries.com. Want to wrap things up here, Jeff?
I would just say to believers out there that don't be afraid of the book of Revelation, because prophecy, when done right, never breeds fear. It only builds our faith. And the point of Revelation is Revelation 19:10. It says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You will fall more in love with your Savior and your Lord by going through this book of Revelation. And you'll find so many great attributes of God that will make you want to not only know him, to love him, but to serve him during the short time that we all have left.
Folks, you can come on out again. That's Thursday, August the 3rd, for our next Understanding the Times event. That's again at Revive Church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, 7 p.m. Doors open at 6 p.m. There's no cost. You can live stream it at markhenryministries.com, or you can watch it post-program. Go to olivetreeviews.org and go to video. You can watch it post-program at markhenryministries.com. Mark, I've got 2 minutes left. If you want to sum up, be my guest.
Jan, people can also download our app and watch it on their smart devices. and we'd love to have them join us. But to any of you that are out there that think the book of Revelation does not have a blessing for you, I want you to remember this. The Holy Spirit has recorded that there is a blessing according to chapter 1, verse 3, yeah. That those who read, those who hear, and those who heed. And then Jesus says the same thing in chapter 22, verse 7. Listen to these words. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. If you believe in Jesus Christ, then believe what he says. And he said there's a blessing for those who will hear, read, understand, and respond accordingly.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. Jeff, we'll see you the evening of August the 3rd. Mark, thank you for all you're doing to help co-host these special events. Say, let me just go out of the program saying this. The book of Revelation reveals Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The book anticipates the day he takes his rightful place as ruler of all the earth. It reveals Satan's doom and it defies death. Suffering is abolished, and it is the only book in the Bible that offers a blessing, as Mark just said, to those who read it and heed it. It reveals that we are to reign with him in glory forever and forever. I want to thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. Nothing happens by accident. God orchestrates it or allows all of today's startling events, and they are orchestrated or allowed so that everything can fall into place.